America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's Commissions Baltimore with Ed Norris. What's going on, Ed?
Well, it's the aftermath of the that video that just went viral. I mean, everybody's watching that thing. It became news outside Baltimore with the Ravens fan who assaulted the Commanders fans after the after the win. But apparently, this kid, Jack Callis, he's got a kind of a long history of assault and stuff. But some of the people were complaining on both sides. Like the attorneys are trying to make it. You see what they're building. Like this, first of all, the comment that we think there's more to this. Well, really? Is there another half hour video in front of this where he gets assaulted? I mean, come on. It's like, I mean, you actually hear him say it was horrible.
I said, never lose.
Well, that was after, but he says, "Oh, there's some stragglers." I mean, what a predatory, horrible thing to say. You see two people in different colored jerseys, and you're talking like you're picking off a couple of wildebeest from the herd. Like, ugh. You know, that's exactly what it was.
And it's frustrating, too, because talking about this, like, the whole point of going to the game is you want to enjoy it. There are people on the other, that rooting for the other team, mm-hmm. that get unruly, like to talk trash, look at me, there's tough guys out there. But this looked like two little kids, or two youngsters. Yeah. I mean, maybe in college, out of college.
Neither wanted to fight.
No.
Neither of these guys wanted to. They were not looking for
much
a fight.
Much smaller than him, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the two he picked out. And, I mean, it's such a horrible look, not only for the city, but at the same extent, like, how do you do that to somebody else? They're just coming out to enjoy a game. Like, do you get up in a movie and go, "Oh, yeah, you like the ending of that movie? Come here, you jackass."
Right.
It's entertainment, guys. That's all it is.
Yeah. It was horrible. And then he did what Rob said. He turns to the cameras, "I never lose," and flexes. And like, well, never lose what? You beat up two guys half your size.
Two weasels, I wouldn't lose either. Yeah. What are you doing, man? Oh, seriously.
Yeah.
I hope that guy one day finds that little scrawny guy who goes to the dojo every day.
Yeah, he will.
I hope he does.
Sure,
he pops every bone in your body. That's what I hope, you piece of crap. It's the same guy that teabagged the special ed kid in school. You piece of crap.
Yeah. And then assaulted somebody on York Road with another guy. Just beat him in the middle of York Road. So he's got a history, and he's got a problem, obviously. But people were saying,
I like to stand in front of him with a Commander's jersey on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I'd like to see him, make a mistake with some like Tucker Lutz.
Worst mistake of his life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Go up to a guy with cauliflower ear and see what happens.
It's probably not the good kind of fight.
Yeah.
But then people complained that he was denied bail. And at first, it's like, why was he denied bail? It's just to ensure. Then I realized the history is because the two tenets of bail is supposed to be, are you flight risk or a danger to the community? It was both. Mm-hmm. Because the family has a house in Sarasota.
Yep.
So, and the way it works is it's easy because it's within the U.S., but still, that means you have to have the Sarasota police lock him up, hold him. You have to file for extradition, believe it or not, to get him back up. It's a process. So you don't want to have to do that if you already have him. And then a danger to community. Now I'm looking at the history. I guess he is. Like, because this is
completely. The video suggested he is.
Yeah, an unprovoked attack. So.
I mean, no better evidence than a video. He says, "Here goes some stragglers." So you're just randomly whipping people's ass. Yeah.
Yeah, it was no pity. Bad, bad look for the city again.
But to be fair, that's what one of my buddies used to say at the end of the night when we were drinking.
Well, that was a different situation.
Oh, it's not the same. Okay.
No.
What did he say?
There goes some stragglers.
Yeah, the twos.
That's the weak one in the herd.
The twos at 10 were the tens at 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same principle. Yeah.
But when you start hearing the background of this, I mean, there's obviously, you can look at the situation and see how this thing is building to who he's become with all the other things that have gone on.
He's only 24. Quite a history, right? It's funny you say that because when I saw the video, like everybody, I was like, "Oh, that's just disgusting!" And then the history comes out, I'm like, "Oh,
well,
What are we doing here?
You know, his lawyer, one of the excuses that the lawyer made was my client was on a week-long alcohol and cocaine bender.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll help you. I mean, I'm sorry, Your Honor, but you got to excuse him. Why? Yeah. He was drinking and snorting cocaine for a whole week.
Yeah.
He didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah, you know what? I love when people do that. I don't begrudge his attorneys for doing this. They have to do something. They got to figure something
that's
out.
That's all he has? The challenge flag?
What else you got here? I mean, the video is pretty clear.
Well, that's like Harbaugh throwing the challenge flag on a touchdown. That's what that is. Yeah.
He was doing cocaine.
He's got to do something. No. And alcohol.
Yeah.
Only one of them is illegal.
The problem is, nearly everybody I've ever locked up for, they're always drunk or on something. It's like you make terrible decisions when you do that. But anyway,
alcohol puts me down. Cocaine gets me up.
Yeah, and he's just horrible. He's a bully. But I don't think he really. He's charged with first degree assault.
So what does that mean?
That is if you intentionally cause or attempting to cause serious physical injury to another person. Anything with a firearm is first degree, but this is not. But if you attempt or cause serious physical injury, so you don't even have to cause it. The fact you intend to do it. This is a crime. If you're guilty of this, attempted.
It's a long time.
25 years.
Yep.
Jeez.
Jeremy, the first hit, if that guy doesn't, if his back doesn't hit the car, his he could have died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That first guy could have died.
Absolutely.
The first thing I thought of.
And the other thing we talked about is when he grabs the second guy and throws him up against the wall, mm-hmm. if it were a couple of feet the other way, he's throwing him through a plate glass window. Yeah. You know?
And to Rob's point, though, when I had to roll up on something, a bouncer hit somebody outside a club. The guy falls, hits his head on the
concrete,
the hitch on a truck.
Oh, yeah.
DOA.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. DOA.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely can kill somebody like that.
You don't need that, man. You don't. Everybody knows my son's special needs. I don't let him go certain places unless he's with me.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah.
Because you never know who the predators are.
You don't.
And people places, love to pick on the easy.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't let him go certain places unless he's with me. Not with his sisters. Not with some places he can't go with his friends. Certain places you only go to if I'm with you. Yeah. That's it. Because of that.
Yo. I think of it all the time. I mean, it's because they're out there. They're out there. If you know, if we've all seen it, we know who they are. And everyone had this guy in their college class, yep. high school class. But anyway, we'll see how this goes. But not looking good. I know. You know, I heard about the defense and the.
They're not looking good.
No bail. They're not. This is not looking good. Horrible look. Horrible look for the city. For the NFL too. I mean, this just you add this to the list of horrible behavior after games.
Well, the other thing that I was hearing, his dad was getting hate mail. People were sending threats and
to
all
his
kinds
job.
Of, yeah,
he got fired immediately because his job got inundated.
He did, and the one thing that I know about this kid from talking to some people, he was really good at his job because he's outgoing.
Uh-huh.
He's a handsome guy. Like people were saying, oh, I thought we just traded for Cooper Kupp when they were looking at him, mm-hmm. but. Again, you talk about the other side of things. When he's working and he's trying to make money, it's a totally different person. You see him out there when he's out and about.
Which means it's intentional.
Yes.
That tells you how intentional it is. Thanks a lot, Eddie. 410-583-1057 is the number. Coach Mike Lockley joins us at 9. Mary Kay Cabot joins us to talk some Cleveland Browns at 7:45. But on the other side, NBA, the league will investigate the Sixers over Embiid's participation. 2 days in, and we already have load management issues. Good old NBA. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
He did not re-injure himself, but the plan is we don't feel like he's quite ready, strong enough, light enough, whatever it is that they've determined that he's not quite ready to go, hasn't been in any full court scrimmages, etc. And that's the plan.
That's the plan. But it's funny to me that the NBA has just started. Last night was Wednesday. It still started with Tuesday night, right?
Tuesday. Yep.
No one's played yet. So many people are injured.
Yeah, I know.
Already, people are injured. I mean, this is the
people
league.
People that were able to play in the Olympics.
I don't understand how the NBA gets away with so many guys not playing. It is the highest paid league by far.
By far.
And these guys just don't play. We just started the season. How are you hurt already? But the league is investigating the Sixers over Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid has already said at this point in his career, he's not playing any more back-to-backs. How do you determine
what?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not playing. He said, I'm not playing anymore back-to-back.
I didn't hear that. Yeah. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageous. How can he say such a thing?
It's just every time you want to like the NBA, they give you two reasons not to.
I'm not even as concerned as much about them because Embiid always, look, he's been getting hurt year after year. You're not going to see him play a full season. It's just not going to happen. I heard Kevin Garnett kind of taking him to task, and then somebody tried to say, well, Garnett at this age never played this many games. Yeah, but he didn't intentionally say, I'm taking off. He got hurt. You get older, you get hurt. At least those guys played. The one that really pisses me off is Kawhi. Like, what's, are you hurt this much? It's just ridiculous now that this cat's sitting every single day. Like, he was hurt last year and then finished the entire offseason, and he comes back hurt. How does that happen? You know, like, and Paul George has a legitimate injury as he hyperextended his knee, but...
You know how he hyperextended his knee? Playing.
Yeah.
We saw it. I just, man, I'm done with this. And what Jeremy just said, Joel Embiid gets hurt a lot. We know that's what happens. That's the problem. He's always hurt. I don't, and for him, I guess I give him a pass too, because when you're that big, there are more chances for bad things to happen to your body. I get
that. Yeah,
you're that big. But
plus, you know, he's super athletic for his size.
But
too.
To say I'm not playing any more back-to-backs, come on, man.
Yeah, I can't imagine just saying that.
That's, we don't want to hear that.
Nobody wants to hear that.
That's why when we had this argument over Embiid and Jokic, it's like, this is your king? This one? This guy's playing every damn night.
He just played in the Paris Olympics.
It's just, I don't get it, man. I don't get... As much money as they're making, I don't know how teams allow this to happen. And maybe it goes back, maybe a lot of this is Popovich's fault for the first time doing this when he sat Kawhi Leonard on his way to a championship, would bench all his, at that point in time, he had a lot of vets. You'd see Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, a lot of these guys sitting. Manu Ginobili were sitting. They would go on road trips and not even take four or five of their superstars or star players with them. And then he did it with the Raptors to a degree. And then now we're seeing the Clippers. They were doing it back and forth with Paul George. Oh, you don't play today and you don't play today. Yeah. Well, why did you sign him? You want them all to play together. Well, we got to make sure they make it to the end of the season. I got news for you. They don't make it to the end of the season when you do this.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
What changed? What guys used to play 75, 80 games. What
How much
changed?
Money they're making.
So now it's the subject to get injured a little bit more.
Huh?
They play less now. They make more money.
It's weird, man.
And when we push back with that, it's not doubting what Jeremy's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being snarky at the nerve of them for actually doing that.
It's like starting pitchers in baseball now. It's too much of an investment to put them at a risk. They don't want them running bases anymore, so you get rid of them hitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then on top of it, oh, can't go more than five innings. Oh, did he throw 80? Oh, I don't want him to get to 85. Really? Those five? How many warm up pitches did he throw? How many did he throw out? It's just like. All this stuff is crazy, yeah. But there's some mad genius behind all of it saying if you do this, you're more than likely to have this happen.
It ruins the game, though. I mean, especially, I think the NBA more than anybody. It's a star-driven league. This is the star-driven league.
Well, how would you like it, for example, now that you know, if I'm a fan and I know Embiid's not playing back-to-backs and he's coming to my city on a back-to-back, right. I'm not going to watch the Sixers.
Exactly.
I don't know whether he's not playing the front of the back-to-back.
Yeah.
What if he's going to roll both games?
And the other game's more important.
Yeah. Which end of the back-to-back is he going to play? That's even
worse yet. I buy tickets, you know, 6 months in advance when my son wants to go. And then we go, and, you know, two of the major stars are sitting.
It happened. Look, I told you the one thing. I was out. I'm so excited for the NBA. I was trying to stay up and watch all the games last night. I watched so much. And then the night before, the doubleheader. But it gets to a point now where people are, they're planning out things to go to games, and you get to go there. It's like, oh, I got to see LeBron James before he retires. Oh, what's that? He's just resting tonight? Is he tired? I mean, what is this? I can't defend it. I'm so excited the league's back, and I love it, but I can't defend that. The other thing was the flopping, which has now become a part of almost every sport.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I will say this, though. You talked about LeBron and him taking off. LeBron at his age, what is this, his 23rd year in the league?
Yeah.
You know, last year LeBron played 71 games.
Yeah.
At the age of 39, he played 71 games. So
he's been often injured over the past couple of years. I don't blame him for
injury's
that.
Injury's different, though, yeah.
Yeah,
he's one that takes it seriously. They're playing on Christmas. He wants to play.
Yeah, LeBron, the difference is LeBron will not play if he's injured. If LeBron's healthy, he's playing, period. Joel Embiid has never played more than 66 games. LeBron at 39 played 71. He's never played more than 66 games, Ed, out of 82.
Yeah.
And a lot
he's only 29 years old. Well, he's 30 years old now. LeBron at 30. I'm going to say it again for all you haters out there. LeBron at 39 played in 71 games.
And he was banged up playing in those games. Now, the other thing with this too, Rob, is that I would say with Joel Embiid that the higher percentage of him missing games is because of injury. But we're getting closer to just being decision-making instead of injury. Like, oh, we want to avoid injury so he can't play in back-to-back games. Why? Is he brittle? Mr. Glass. Oh, even Anthony Davis is going out there and playing. He's not sitting. He just gets hurt all the time.
I say, he's not faking it. He's always hurt.
He goes out there and he gets a hangnail and he's, I'm out for 2 weeks. But at least he's out there.
Last year, James Harden played 72 games. 72. Shut up. Let's go to Columbia and get Al. What's up, Al?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to say, like, you know, yeah, they may not play whatever it is. Injuries do happen, but I just want to just give a special shout out to one of my favorite all-time athletes who did play. That's Kobe Bryant. Kobe always said he played when he was hurt because how y'all were talking about those fans, especially like, you know, kids that come and want to see their favorite NBA player play, but they find out that he may be sitting. Kobe always played when he was hurt. I just want to just give that shout out to him.
Dude, he shot free throws with a torn Achilles. I ain't got anything bad to say about Kobe. Ever.
Just in case I can come back in the game.
He didn't know it was a torn Achilles at the time.
Crazy.
Yeah.
He limped to the line.
Klay Thompson did it too when he tore his ACL.
Yeah. 410-583-1057. Those guys are warriors, though. Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 7:45 to talk Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Ravens. But the ALCS, NLCS ratings were the highest in 7 years. Is it only because of L.A. and New York? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
7:32 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Cohn on this Thursday. Ed Norris likes to call this day.
Friday Eve, babe.
ALCS, NLCS ratings were the highest in 7 years. Is it only because of the L.A. and New York market? Let me throw something into this for you. In the last 7 years, those same 7 years, the Yankees have been in the ALCS. This is their third time in the last 7 years. And the Dodgers' fourth time in the past 7 years. So that can't be it in and of itself. So what else has changed in those 7 years, Ed?
Ohtani.
Okay, that's one. What were the stats on the Japanese homes?
Japanese homes, I mean, depending on where you went, I was mentioning the ALDS final game. Or against the Padres, had like 11 million.
NLCS.
Had like 11 million viewers in Japan, which is a huge amount.
Right.
And then, you know, they started talking about some of the other games. Overall, they averaged close to 9 million people watching.
So that's Japan. This is the number.
Japan is in the house.
Fox, FS1, and NBC. So Ohtani has never been in a LCS. Judge has been in one, so it's not him. But I still don't think it's just L.A. I think the game's popularity has something to do with this. And let me read this to you. Ratings for MLB games in primetime rank first locally on all networks 14 of the 25 major U.S. markets and MLB clubs. So they ranked first for primetime viewership. MLB.com, that's where everybody gets the games, set a new high of 14.5 billion minutes watched, a jump of 14% over last year's previous high of 12.7 billion. So if you look at it, it's a 2% increase on viewership this year. It's also almost a 2% increase on viewership. I think it's consistent with what we've seen all year. I think all those things that you guys mentioned, I think that's part of it. I do. But I think the game's popularity is also part of it because the increase in the LCS goes in line with the increase during the regular season.
Yeah, you probably. I'm sure there's multiple reasons, but the one that, well, I think a couple of things factor in here. I think Ohtani's a huge part of this because I would go see him play. I'd love to see him play in person one day. I've never done it.
So is Judge, because the year he had everyone talking.
Absolutely.
About.
Well, we saw Judge in New York, so I never saw Ohtani.
Yeah, I get that, but I'm just saying, just like, even average fans.
You're talking about nationally.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's a big draw. I think major markets helps. You got the biggest
always.
Market.
Always. Well, you can't ignore that.
Yeah, and maybe the rule changes have helped because, you know, all of a sudden.
The popularity.
The game may be because it's you know, quicker.
See, Ed, I think you and I are saying the same thing. I think the rule changes is what increased the popularity.
Mm-hmm.
I think the game now, life is all about optics. Life is all about, you know, perception. And the perception of it is that it's faster. Even if you have, I've seen games that weren't that quick, Jeremy, but people left feeling like it was because you didn't have as many stoppages.
Yeah.
It was actually, I think if you had a 2.5 to 3 hour game where it wasn't a lot of stoppages, it was just playing, I think people would enjoy that. I think what people don't enjoy is the constant going out to the mound, the constant throw back to first base. Those things that slow it down. The actual action, I think people could handle.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's all these things. The action, the speeding up of the game definitely helps. Because I know people who I never thought would notice have noticed and say they like it much better. Mm-hmm. Like casual fans, wow, this is much better. And the major markets helps. Because, I mean, if it was like, you know, Colorado and Cincinnati,
I just wonder, though, mathematically speaking, is it too soon to say that that's had such an impact on it? Because now
we can't.
I'm not saying it's not a factor. Because I think I agree with you guys that everything's been a factor. But is baseball up as a whole, or was it just up in the postseason?
No, as a whole, I just read that. It's up. They had 14.5 billion minutes watched this whole season. It would jump from plus 14% from last year.
That's a big jump.
With 12.7 billion viewers. So, yeah, as a whole.
Why are they doing minutes watched? Is that because people tune in and out of baseball games more?
Because the whole point was to keep you watching, like us in radio, want to keep you watching. With this, with their stats are saying how many people stayed in and watching the game, tuned out. I'm sure 14.5 billion minutes out of, they know how many possible minutes. So they're saying people are watching baseball for longer because of the minutes.
See, and I like that. And you guys brought up the fact that I want to see baseball grow. I want to see it get back. When we talk about the big three, there's a big one and then there's the others.
Yeah,
baseball might be two, but there's a long way behind that. And I don't know how much ground you make up. You got to wait for the NFL to basically screw some things up, as they are doing by expanding everything, going everywhere.
Doesn't seem to matter to them.
It doesn't.
It just now keep rolling.
You guys said something else that's important to baseball. He said Shohei. You said, well, Judge too. Doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. The fact is, baseball will win when it becomes star driven. When you can start when players become appointment setting. Then baseball wins. And I think they're all over baseball. I think if Ronald Acuña Jr. is not hurt and Atlanta's in, he's must-see TV.
Yes.
I think if the Orioles go deep in the playoffs, Gunnar Henderson's must-see TV. If the Royals go deep in the playoffs, you know, I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is must-see TV. It goes on and on and on. Now, the kid Carroll in
Corbin Carroll,
must-see TV. It goes. So I think another thing that helps is we can now name multiple stars in multiple markets. You know, Cincinnati gets good. They got a kid that's must-see TV.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing I love about it. It seems like, to me, guys, athleticism is making its way into baseball. Because these guys are athletes.
Yeah.
They're not just baseball players. They're freaking athletes.
John Kruk.
What did we just talk about? I don't know if you were in the room. We were talking off the air about...
multiple sport guys.
No, superstar players. And multiple sport guys. Because I was telling him about the video with Anthony Edwards and Justin Jefferson where Anthony Edwards is throwing a football through a basketball hoop about 30, 40 feet out. And then Justin Jefferson shoots a jump shot from the same. He hits it.
Did he?
And Anthony Edwards goes, give it back to me. And he throws the football a second time through the hoop. And Jefferson's like, damn, man. And you see these guys going back and forth.
See, he got to protect Jefferson. What did Jefferson do in his second attempt?
Huh? He missed it.
Okay.
Now, shut up. You don't know. You didn't know. I told you. He made it. You didn't know? Anyway. getting back to the point of this, is that
you're becoming Ed Norris.
I'm just going to say he's becoming worse than me now.
That's not true. Aaron Judge, his high school numbers from baseball, football, and basketball, ridiculous. I told Rob, Cooper Kupp in his state basketball championship beat Zach LaVine's team by 35 points. And you go watch him, you're looking at a skinny little white dude just knocking down threes and getting to the hoop. And it's crazy because these guys are so talented nowadays. It just matters which sport you pick to be the main one. Anthony Edwards could have been in the NFL.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge could have played.
He's one of the highest recruited players in the country.
Yeah.
By the way, dating back from 1968, Dodgers and Yankees had three of the highest World Series rankings of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Ed, is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
78 was the most watched.
And Rob might know.
It was 78? I don't remember 78 World Series.
No, I'm just making an old joke about Ed, which he gets, and he's smiling at me like he wants to kill me.
I don't remember. The first World Series I remember was the year you were born, 79.
Yeah.
First one I remember was, wasn't the Mets Orioles. It was Tigers Cardinals.
The Boston Bean Eaters versus
the Chicago Orphans.
I remember being in a room while other people were watching World Series. But I don't remember it myself.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the Yankees, Reggie Jackson hit three home runs. Was that 77?
I remember
that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the actual game.
I did, because I was playing Little League baseball. I was buying, you know when it came around into your school and you buy the books? You get a little stack of books you get. I always bought, like, I remember Bob Gibson on pitching. I bought the big O about Oscar Robertson.
Mm-hmm. You didn't think it was about that, though.
I didn't. I was very precocious. Yeah.
Ed,
yeah. I followed the pitchers very closely, though.
In the first World Series, when the Boston Bean Eaters played the Chicago Orphans, was it Crazy Legs Mitchell or Mordecai Three Finger Brown?
Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer joins us to talk some Browns up next on The Fan. 7:46 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, and joining us right now from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, she is Mary Kay Cabot. Good morning, Mary Kay.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. We were talking a little bit earlier on the show, and you would know better than us. You know, Jameis Winston is going to start down due to the injury, and also Ken Dorsey is going to make the play calls for the offense. Does this make the Cleveland Browns offense any more dangerous than it was before?
That's a great question. We will see. I think there are other factors involved here, too. Nick Chubb came back last week, so I think that will help them. He'll be another week out, so he should help. They'll probably try to run the ball a little bit, although we all know about the Ravens' vaunted run defense. Some of the receivers are going to have to step up and make some big plays. That's been an issue this season. You know that Amari Cooper is gone now. He's with the Bills, so that was their number one receiver. Jameis is going to have to try to run an offense that's been extremely dysfunctional this whole entire season. And a lot of the reason for that is because the offensive line just has not played well at all this whole season. So there are many, many problems, and I'm just not really sure if one quarterback and even one new play caller is going to be enough to fix them.
Do you have any idea before the season started? We all thought the Browns had a really good roster. Didn't know Watson was going to be this bad. But I'm kind of shocked at how awful this football team is. I thought they'd be competing for the division title.
I think everyone is shocked, and I 100% felt that they would be competing for the division title. Now, they did go into the season having the toughest record in the NFL, but they haven't even really gotten into the heart of the toughest part of their record yet. So they came through the sort of easier stretch 1-6, and that is really incredibly disappointing for Browns fans, for the Browns themselves, and it's been, I would say, a shocking start to the season. Just nothing worked right, especially on offense. And it's just been hard to believe that here we are at 1-6 with pretty much nothing to play for the rest of the season. No one saw this coming.
So I want to ask you about Nick Chubb, because I was watching when he got in the end zone and seeing how the crowd reacted and everyone reacted. I thought it was such a cool moment. You know, when he's healthy, he's one of the best runners of the football in the league, period. Did you see anything from him that would say that maybe he's a step slower or anything like that? Or do you think he's a full go and he looked like himself in this last game?
Well, he didn't look 100% like himself, but I did ask him yesterday, did you get confidence going out there your first time after your second major, major knee reconstruction and feel like you are going to be yourself one of these days? And he said yes. He needed to get out there. He needed to get tackled, get hit, you know, feel that contact so he could go out there and start to look like the Nick Chubb that he has always been. And he believes that that player is still there.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us, Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Mary Kay, Kevin Stefanski, is his job safe right now, or is that to be determined based on how this team finishes?
You know, I just don't know if anybody's job is safe when you are at 1-6 and you were supposed to contend for a Super Bowl that season. I think that they will be searching for answers in the offseason, maybe even before that. It's really hard to say. Giving up play calling yesterday, I thought was very interesting. The timing to me was kind of curious. Jimmy Haslam is not a patient man. But having said that, he loves the fact that he finally hit upon what he thought was alignment in the organization with Paul DePodesta and Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. He just extended the contracts of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, so you would think that those guys are safe. But when you're dealing with Jimmy Haslam, who expects to put a winning product on the field, I guess you can never say never.
I tell you, he's on the hook for $46 million for the next 2 years. I don't know, they should be booing him instead of the players. Anyway, Cleveland's running defense is not great. Kind of middle of the pack, 126 yards a game. How do you see them stacking up against the Ravens offense between Lamar and Derrick Henry, who may get, he may have a 2,000-yard season?
I think it's going to be really tough for this Browns defense. They're going to have to dig deep, and they're going to have to find it within themselves to want to tackle, because in the first few games of the season, they were tackling horribly. It's gotten somewhat better, but they haven't run up against a Lamar or a Derrick Henry yet. So I think it could be a long afternoon on the lakefront, and another factor going on is that some of these players are still angry at Browns fans for cheering Deshaun Watson while he was down on the field. I'm trying to get a handle on that story. Because they're not going out there necessarily with great, great feelings, every single one of them, about Browns fans right now. And I think that could be a little bit of a factor, even if just sort of subconsciously.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Hey, Mary, as you start to look at the way this division shapes up, I said at the beginning of the season, I thought the Browns had the best roster outside of quarterback until we see what Deshaun Watson looked like. Cincinnati starts off slow. Are you surprised at what you're seeing from the Ravens and Steelers at all?
Yes. Well, not the Ravens. I knew the Ravens were going to be the Ravens. So that one doesn't surprise me. But the Steelers, for them to be where they're at right now, it's pretty remarkable. They never seem to have to do a full rebuild. They can recover from a quarterback mistake. They have done so. And for them to be where they're at right now, I think it's remarkable. And it just speaks to, I think, both of the organizations from top to bottom and just how good they are.
There she is, Mary Kay Cabot. Mary Kay, tell folks how to follow you on social media.
At Mary Kay Cabot, just kind of how it sounds.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that, Mary Kay.
Thanks, Mary.
All right, 410-583-1057. That's the number. That was a factor that we talked about on Tuesday. And we were talking about going to Cleveland. I said, I don't think this will be a good home game for the Browns. I think it'll be very uncomfortable, Jeremy, because of how the players push back against those fans.
Yeah.
I don't think this is your typical home field advantage. It may be a home field disadvantage.
I think she's spot on with that, because they push it back vocally against the fans and angrily. I can see them coming out with a big F you.
Yep. I don't disagree. I just, it's a divisional game, so I always have concerns in these games. Not afraid of the Browns or anything. Ravens should handle their business. But, like, you just see weird things, again, when teams know each other or familiar with each other.
Joe just told me tickets are as low as $22.
Let's go.
No desire to
go. I ain't spending $22 to go to Cleveland.
Oh,
God. How long did that drive? You drove there. How far is that by car?
It's, what is it, like 7 hours? 8 hours, maybe?
They gave us a Dodge, what was the car?
Durango? Charger?
No, Charger.
No.
I don't know how fast. Vinny said.
Who was driving?
Vinny said, me. Vinny said, I drove to Cleveland. Vinny drove to Cincy. We kept flip-flopping.
Joe said just under 6 hours.
Vinny said, hey, Rob. If the police stop us, just tell them you're qualified. Dude, I was gunning it. I don't know. I don't know how long. You said just under 6 hours, Joe? It took like four, I think, maybe. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. World is Stupid with Jeremy Kahn. He's back at 8:15. But on the other side, you heard Ed Reed. He said some things about the Ravens on the Manning cast. Said that, you know, maybe this defense is not ready for prime time or championship level. Kyle Van Noy heard it and responded, and you'll hear it up next on The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.